Pass in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Pass to Aguilla. Shot save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score! And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, let's get it going. Happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, June 3rd, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com and FC Hockey. My name is Pat Steinberg in our Groundworks downtown studio, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Going on, Vicks? How
are
we doing?
We are. Well, you did say there was a little edge in the room. I feel like I've mellowed in the 45 seconds since.
There was a little edge just before we hit the air.
Curious to see where this hour takes us.
I don't like edge.
No?
I like a little...
Make for better radio?
It depends.
You don't want me to just start yelling at you across the table? Throwing a coffee at you?
I just like everybody to be happy and friendly.
Pen?
I just like Shan to sit in the seat there. I don't like to do segments without Shan.
The issue is Shan hasn't done his duty for me.
Hasn't...
This guy.
Shan did not miss that, I can guarantee you.
No! He gets mad when I do it.
When you open your sparkling
when
water?
When I open my own sparkling water instead of making Shan do it for me? Yes.
He gets upset at you.
I've seen him get upset at me for that.
Here we are on June 3rd, so we're now less than a month away from the start of free agency 2025. Canada Day, once again, will open up free agency on July 1st. And as June gets going, pretty good opportunity for us to kind of take stock of where the Flames are and where things sit when it comes to their free agent decisions and their pending unrestricted free agents. That's what we'll spend the first part of this hour doing. Then the second half of the hour, we'll head to Buffalo, New York for the NHL Scouting Combine. Our buddy Chris Wall will join us from Buffalo, give us a little eyes on viewing as to what the Flames are doing and their approach at the 2025 Scouting Combine. But Flames have got a decent number of unrestricted free agents. There's some, I don't want to say movement, but got some information on some, have less information on others. Maybe we'll start with Dan Vladar just because he's been the one that maybe has been most front of mind over the last week or so. So late last week, Wes and I spoke a little bit, well, a lot about Dan Vladar and the goaltending situation as the Flames last week started being linked to Russian goaltender Ivan Prosvetov, and he played at CSKA Moscow last year in the KHL, but his NHL time before that. And here's kind of where I understand things sit on the Dan Vladar front, not really any different than when we talked on Thursday, but just kind of to sum it up, I think the Flames are preparing for him to hit the open market. Not saying that they believe he's going to, but we're into June. We're less than a month from free agency right now. I believe the Flames have put offers on the table to Dan Vladar, and nothing has been agreed upon as of yet. And as a deadline gets closer, maybe things rubber hits the road a little bit more. So by no means is the door closed on Dan Vladar returning. And I still believe the Flames would very much like Vladar to come back. But it's June 3rd, and I think the Flames are now starting to, at the very least, realize that maybe some of their contingency plans might have to be put in place. And they have to have contingency plans,
right,
which is where Prosvetov came from. It's why they've been linked to him, among other teams being linked to Prosvetov. And I do believe the Flames are in that mix to potentially bring him over. So I think on the Vladar side of things, they are doing their research and seeing what else is out there. Is there a place that has interest in him that could get him more playing time, that could get him a bigger number, a longer-term deal, all those types of things that the pending unrestricted free agent does and should be researching. And Dan Milstein, his representative, would be doing his due diligence on that side of things. So Flames have put offers on the table. To this point, nothing has been agreed upon. That's kind of exactly where we were on Thursday when we talked about it. But that's the scenario with Dan Vladar. And And on June 3rd, yeah, the Flames have to be prepared that he doesn't come back. They have to have, much like as I compared it last week to Oliver Shillington about this time last year, Flames still wanted Shillington back. They didn't close the door, but it was about this time last year when they started to maybe pivot and look at what their other left side defense options in free agency were. And as time went along, they understood that there was interest from Jake Bean and his camp to sign in his hometown, and eventually that ended up being the contingency plan for Oliver Shillington. And so that's kind of where things are right now with Vladar, is that, yeah, there's a decent chance he's not back next year because there's nothing done less than a month from free agency. So we'll see where that goes. But I do believe the Flames would like to have him back if that is in the cards on both sides.
Well, and understandably so, because he made such a formidable tandem with Dustin Wolf and really insulated Dustin Wolf, in my opinion, in the early part of the season, and then gave the Flames his best bit of hockey down the stretch when it mattered the most, when they were trying to chase down a playoff spot after the Four Nations. He was 5-1-1 with a 1.99 goals against and a .926 save percentage. Like, those are very, very strong numbers. And when you're very clearly at that point, he was the number two. I mean, Dustin Wolf played 20 of 28 games down the stretch for the Flames. There's a reason he was the clear number one. But having your number two put up north of a .925 save percentage in the sequence that mattered the most for your season can't be overlooked. The chemistry between Wolf and Vladar is clearly there. And that's something from an organizational standpoint. If I was sitting in the big chair, I wouldn't necessarily want to disrupt that with a new voice or a new body in that room. At the same time, if I'm the goaltender as well in this situation, part of me is very, very comfortable with being a member of the Calgary Flames. But part of me, then this is the competitive side of things for any NHL, or not just Dan Vladar, is typically if you're a guy that's happy or okay with only playing 30% of the time, there might be a question of, okay, well, what was the drive there? Because you never hear a coach say a player comes up to him and asks for less ice time. Never happens. I mean,
I might.
Well, like, I don't think you'll get any ice time.
I might take less if I can still get the same money.
Look at you just phoning it in. just doing cardio out there. Hey, Pat, just lap after lap. No. So you understand from Dan Vladar's point of view, if there is an option where you hit the open market and there's a team that says, hey, we're legitimately going to give you an opportunity to be either a 1A or a 1B.
I'm just skeptical that exists.
You look around the league and there's not a lot of options that would afford them that. I do feel that there might be a couple, but then you're also taking basically everything you've known from an NHL perspective and jumping into an unknown situation with no guarantees on the ice, off the ice, that it's going to be a better fit. And we all know, we heard him talk about it on Locker Clino Day. Like, the Calgary Flames gave him a chance to be an NHLer, and that's not lost on him. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't necessarily have the opportunity to talk to Vladar at the World Championship about, hey, what's going to happen in, you know, 6 weeks from now? What's your plan? What's your thought process? Where are things? But even still, in talking to him, you get the sense that he's very grateful for the career he's had with the Calgary Flames to this point. Now, does that mean it's over? No. Does that mean he's coming back? No. It's a very interesting spot, but if I'm the goalie, I see a fit back in Calgary. If I'm the team, I see a fit back in Calgary. And I don't know if at the end of the day it comes down to a dollar figure that makes both sides comfortable or what the stipulation needs to be.
There's only so much the Flames should be willing to do to bring back.
Like, you're not going to give him. You're not going to give your backup $5 million to make him happy.
I think they've probably put 1 and 2 year deals on the table. And the Flames believe what they've put on the table is quite fair. But I think they probably put 1 and 2 year deals on the table is kind of my belief. And that's what he's probably going to get on the open market, or 1 and 2 year deals as well.
I don't think he can command a 3, 4, 5 year deal on the open market.
And the problem is, and with no disrespect to Dan, who I am a big fan of, and I think, you know, I think what is best for the Flames and what is best, I believe what's best for him is also to stay in Calgary, but I'm not him. Like, I can't, it's kind of condescending for me to tell an NHL veteran, well, what's best for you? But I just don't know if he's going to find a better spot when it comes to comfort level, when it comes to, you know, locker room, when it comes to style of play, all those types of things. even if there is like a slight better chance for playing time, like you're still behind. You're probably still behind. Like Jake Allen is the number one UFA free agent, goalie. Yep. And he's probably in terms of interest level behind guys like Husso, maybe Forsberg, and maybe Samsonov as well. So I just don't know if that spot with a good chunk of playing time is going to materialize. And like, could I see him land in San Jose? Sure, but who's San Jose's got their Dustin Wolf.
Right. So there's no assurance, there's no guarantee.
Askarov's gonna get used the same way the Flames are using Wolf going forward. It just I'm skeptical Dan's gonna find a better spot than here for what he, you know, for where he is in his career. But that's not up to me, and the player has to feel comfortable about what they're doing. And so that's why I say the door remains open. If at some point the Vladar camp has looked around and said, hey, you know, this is not happening to where we thought it might, maybe they do end up signing back with Calgary. And I do think the Flames, up until the point where they hit whatever their internal deadline would be, I still think the Flames have the door open for something to happen.
So that's what I was going to ask, and apologies if you addressed it last week, but is this the similar situation to Shillington in the sense that if there's no answer to the Flames by, is there June 30th? There's no June 31st, right? I'm not messing
that
up.
June 30th. And I think it would be before that.
If they don't have an answer by June 30th, on July 1, are they going out and getting their backup?
I mean, it's probably like June 21st or something like that.
Okay,
and,
so...
And then they...
So we're closing in on three weeks away from need the answer.
And that's fair because, I mean, look, what percentage of deals actually get negotiated once free agency actually opens? Like maybe 10% of them?
No, come on.
Like they're all done before
No
that.
Way. No way.
I remember taking a cab ride... What draft?
Oh, I'm being sarcastic.
I know you are.
Thank you.
But I'm just like, what draft would that have been? Maybe it was the Buffalo draft? No, it was the Dallas draft. And I remember taking a cab ride with an NHL insider, a prominent NHL insider. I won't give the name. But we were just talking, and this insider basically said, yeah, this goalie's going here. This goalie's going there. This goalie's going here. That player's going. I'm like... And you're like, what? These are all. That was the first time.
Was that during the week long negotiation period
that they had?
That had been
by the wayside by that point. It was just like, oh, geez, okay. These
I
things,
can't believe it.
These things.
There's
do
no
happen.
Santa Claus.
So they all happened prior to free agency. So like, look, the Flames had Jake Bean all ready to go, and then they just announced it. Same with Lomberg. Same with Cooley. They have that all ready to go, much like every other team does in the NHL. They all talk. They all get things done with the agents prior. And so I think that, you know, in that final week and a half.
You're
between,
killing the illusion.
I know, right? That final week and a half leading up to July 1st would be when I think the Flames would put their contingency plan in place if Vladar decides not to stay. Okay, so that's the Vladar side of things. You know, the other guy, so for me, the two guys that I felt would have been the highest priority for the Flames to retain in unrestricted free agency, Vladar and Justin Kirkland is the other. I just think it makes so much sense to keep Kirkland in the fold on another 1 or 2 year deal. I mean, all Justin Kirkland did was provide us one of the great feel-good stories of the year, but it wasn't feel-good just because he's a nice guy. It was a feel-good story because he also stepped in and was a really effective player in his role. He could move up and down the lineup when they needed him to play kind of in the middle six on the wing. He did that. When they needed him to center that number four line, he could do that. He won the multiple shootouts on his own because of...
Same move.
With the same move with slight variations. He's a Bill Masterton finalist. Or a Bill Masterton team nominee, and he wants to be here. So, like, to me, re-signing Kirkland makes a ton of sense. However, my understanding is that there are plenty of teams interested in Kirkland.
Understandable.
If something doesn't happen here. And so I think Kirkland will have options, which means I don't think he's going to take an NHL min two-way deal on a 1 year two-way deal to stay in Calgary. I do think that he'll have some other options. I just look at it and if you can do something, because I think Kevin Rooney is going to walk. I don't think Kevin Rooney and the Flames will be that one seems like the most cut and dried one so far, is that Rooney will hit the free agent market and the Flames will be looking for another number four center. And I was like, who's a better tailor-made guy than Justin Kirkland? And if you can do something similar to the Rooney deal, I do that all day, every day. Like, Rooney was, what, 1.25 mil? So if you, something around $1 million and 1 or 2 years on a one-way deal.
1.3 on Rooney, I think it was.
Yeah, so if you can do somewhere between 1 and 1.3, somewhere in that range for Kirkland, 1 or 2 years, I'd do the one-way. Like, all he showed you last year is that he belongs in the NHL. He's a great guy in your room. You know that he wants to be here in Calgary, but he also has other options. I'd do that. I'd look at signing him to a 1 year, 1.2, 1 2 year, 2x1, 2 years, 2 million, like something like that. I'd be all over for a guy like Kirkland.
Yeah, I would be tabling two offers. One would be 1 year, 1.3, or 2 years at one, and give him a little bit more of that security, because he did come in, and for my money, he was that 4C when he was in the lineup. And I know he was used around, but I think, from at least my perspective, my preference was when Kirkland was anchoring that fourth line in place of Rooney. Now, Rooney struggled a little bit, in my opinion, early on in the season, and found a little bit more of his game as time went on. But the fact of the matter remains, you ran through it. Kirkland won the multiple shootouts, and it's a small sample size. It's only 21-game sample size, but he played to a 31-point pace over the course of an 82-game schedule with 8 points in those 21 games. Like, that is solid production coming out of your bottom six. And
they got no cap worries, like none.
You're okay spending maybe an extra 100 or 200K than you maybe want to in that position. Not saying specifically on Kirkland, but in that position. But yeah, you're not hamstrung by anything. You're not trying to penny pinch. Not that you just want to give away money to give away money, but you're not hamstrung by a lot of things here. And if it works and he comes off his injury and he's right back to where he was last season, great. And if he struggles to get up to speed a little bit, well, it's not the end of the world. You're not in trouble financially in order to, I'm not even really going to call it a risk, because to me it's kind of a low risk situation. But he was a guy that was really a feel good story up until he got injured again and was lost.
Well,
for the year.
And two things that I think really would be important to me when talking about re-signing Kirkland. Number one, he wants to be here. Like, Calgary's his off-season home. This is where he lives during the summer. And whether he ends up with the Wranglers or not, being in Calgary is where he wants to be. I don't think he will end up with the Wranglers if he signs here, but like, he wants to be in Calgary. So Craig Conroy has talked at length about guys who want to be
right.
A member of the Calgary Flames. And I can tell you, Kirkland wants to be a member of the Flames. The Flames would like to keep him as well. Obviously, this needs to be a deal, but he will have options. It's not like Calgary is his only spot. And I don't think he's limiting himself. Like, by the end, Michael Stone basically, he must have told us three or four
yeah,
different times.
He's pretty candid.
Yeah, like, it's, I'm not signing elsewhere. So
I'm not leaving Calgary. I'm not moving the family.
I'll either sign in Calgary and play on the NHL, or I've never met a human being more at peace with retiring than Michael Stone. Stone could have played another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, I want to sign here, and this is the only place I'll sign.
Hey, who knows?
I don't think we're there yet with Kirkland. So I do think he'll have other options, but this is the place he wants to be. So, and the other thing, the other reason that I think I'd want to keep him to such an extent would be, he also is one of the few guys that you know exactly like the role that he's going to play. How many guys on this roster, you're like, are you a second line guy? Are you a third line guy? You're going to play on the first line with Kadri. Like, there's so much interchangeability, and Kirkland can play higher up the lineup if need be, but I think you'd be centering him or signing him for him to center your fourth line.
Right. You're not.
And you know exactly what he's going to be.
You're not signing him with the illusion that, yeah, okay, we're going to pencil him in for the fourth line, but what if he could find some chemistry with center X and we move him to the wing, so on and so forth. No, you're assigning him a role, and it's his job to lose should a young player come in and take it. But it's also a role that I don't know if I necessarily want a 22 or a 23-year-old anchoring the fourth line. I'd rather they play top line minutes in the A or top 9 minutes in the NHL. So it's kind of that spot where You know the person, you know the player, you know the fit. All you got to do is make the money work at the end of the day.
So we'll see what happens on Kirkland, but that's where I am on him. I think Rooney's going to hit. I think Rooney and the Flames will part
right
and go their separate ways. Don't I honestly, I'll be honest. Like I don't have intel or a read on Hanley at all in terms of what either side is thinking. All I know is that, I don't know, it feels like for both sides, Hanley trying to hit it in free agent, like he's never had more leverage than now as an unrestricted free agent. Like I bet he could get a multi-year deal with another team. And good for him. Like what a cool season. And I just feel like a 33, 34 year old defenseman, probably you can shake his hand, say, hey, thanks for everything. Like you absolutely killed it as a waiver claim. Good luck wherever you go. And we hope you get a big contract, but we want to leave the door open for Kuznetsov or Solovyov or Grushnikov, or maybe look at acquiring
left side
D-man who's a little younger. So I know where I am on Hanley, but I don't have a read as to where that conversation is. Do you feel any stronger about re-signing Hanley? Because if it were me, I'd shake his hand and say thanks for the service and part ways.
I mean, in all fairness, I would probably do my due diligence and be like, okay, what is your ask? I just feel like that ask, and deservedly so, this isn't a criticism on Hanley.
For sure.
The ask is going to be higher than I would be willing to pay as a member of the Calgary Flames, and Hanley's absolutely earned that right, and he should be swinging for the fences. This was a dream season for him. It was a career year for him, and you don't know how many more opportunities you're going to get in free agency. So if you're, again, he was a waiver claim a year ago, well, a little over a year ago. And he worked himself into a top four position on the Flames, on a team that tied for the second wild card, pardon me, in the West, and lost the tiebreaker. So the fact that he was able to work himself up the rung, up the ladder,
yep,
absolutely go test the market, swing for the fences, and see what you can come away with, because he's got so much more leverage and so much more. He hasn't even signed the deal yet, and he's already got so much more job security as a result of the work that he did.
And I'll read you this text. The last guy we'll talk about, Gary writes in, says, what about Dryden Hunt? Wife's from Calgary, just had a baby. He'd be a steal at $750K a year. And I think the NHL min's a little higher than that, but whatever. I think, look, if I'm the Flames, I'm doing what it takes to keep Dryden Hunt, because I think he's exactly the type of guy you want in your organization. By the way, the NHL min $775. So that's probably what it would end up being for Hunt, maybe a little higher, but probably right around NHL minimum on a two-way deal. But okay. So I believe keeping Hunt would be good for the organization. He's the type of guy that you want as a leader and a tone setter, leader on and off the ice in the American League. If that's where he's going to play, he's a leading AHL scorer. He's one of the best players in the American League when he's there. And he's also one of the few guys who is extremely prolific at the American League level who can jump in and play anywhere at the NHL level. He's an effective fourth line guy. Like I think of Austin Zarnik, guy couldn't play fourth line minutes effectively with the Flames, as good as an AHL scorer he was, whereas Hunt has done a great job of jumping
adaptable.
In seamlessly. Yeah, it's a great word. He's a really adaptable NHL player. The question is, are the Flames at a point where they feel like they're ready to hit the ask? Because my understanding on Hunt is that there's a ton of teams interested as well, and because of what he does, because he can do that on any team. And if it's going to be a two-way deal, that two-way number, that American League number, is going to be high.
Right. He's going to be one of the higher paid players in the American Hockey League.
Like upwards of between, I would say higher than 400K is what that two-way, the second number would be.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, I think of when Chris Butler was in the American League, he was making like over 500K in the AHL. Certain guys do that. I don't know if the Flames are ready to do that or not, but I think if you could keep Dryden Hunt, I think it would be really good for the organization. We know Huska loves him. We know that he's very good on that American League team. It's going to be a new American League coach this year. So having a guy like Hunt who knows the
stability.
You could name him your captain instantly if you wanted to. Now, maybe not, because I think you'd have eyes on him being that tweener type player. So I really would. If I could get Dryden Hunt to agree to $775 and $450 or something like that with a
guarantee
higher
number of $600 or whatever.
Yeah, I'd do that all day. Now, Hunt might get one-way offers elsewhere. I do think that he's the type of guy that, you know, you might get one or two teams who could give him one of those two-way deals where 1 year is a one-way, the other way is a two-way. That wouldn't be out of the question. But I'd kind of try
the Flames did with Cooley.
Yeah, very similar. Like Glenn Godden got that when he left Calgary and signed with Anaheim. I'd try to keep Hunt if I could, but also understanding that I think that he'll be pretty highly sought after for the role that he plays with other organizations as well.
Well, as you mentioned, he's useful at both levels. He's one of the sort of, I don't want to say ideal 13th or 14th forwards, but he has the ability, as you mentioned, to jump into a lineup and play sort of up and down as you need. He's going to very likely be one of your top two scorers on the Wranglers and one at like a top 20-ish scorer league-wide in the American Hockey League. And again, depends on how many games played in the AHL versus the NHL. Don't hit me with the semantics on that one. But he's useful as a leader and as a scorer at the AHL level, and his versatility affords you some options at the NHL level should you run into some chemistry or injury issues that you want to get a look at him at the NHL level.
Few texts at 960-960. This reads, Pat, what does the goaltending system look like for the Flames right now? So you've got Wolf, you've got Cooley. If Vladar doesn't re-sign, whether it's Prospetov or somebody else, they will sign another goalie to compete with Cooley in training camp behind Dustin Wolf. They've got Sergeyev, who's just signed his deal. They've got Connor Murphy, who's a restricted free agent, and they have liked what Murphy has brought to the organization. They just signed Owen Say. So those are, and Valtteri Ignatiev is leaving the organization.
He's heading back to Europe.
Heading back to Europe, yep. So next year at kind of the North American pro level, they'll have Say, they'll have Sergeyev, they'll have Cooley, they'll have Wolf, they'll have somebody else in that mix, and probably Murphy. And with we'll see. I actually don't know on the Murphy front, but he is an RFA with Arbrights. But the Flames would then have, they've got Rapid City, they've got the Wranglers, and then they've got a spot behind Wolf on the NHL's team. So we'll see what they do in that regard.
You detailed it perfectly for me. In fact, I've been a little disconnected from signings and rumors, so I'm glad you clarified that up a bit for me, too.
Steinberg Vickers, along with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Vickers along with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. The NHL Scouting Combine is underway in Buffalo, New York. What, over the last decade, Buffalo's just become the home of the NHL Scouting Combine. It continues all week. The last major stop before the 2025 NHL Draft at the end of the month. Steinberg, Vickers, and down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline we go. Out to Buffalo we go right now, and we check in with our buddy Chris Wall from CalgaryFlames.com. And I believe this is Wallsy's first time on Flames Talk, which is
which is
bad on my part for this being the
criminal
first time, because Wallsy's one of our absolute faves. There's nothing that is more fun than sitting and watching a practice or morning skate. It's usually me by myself, and then Wallsy is usually
me right under the bus.
Wallsy is usually, well, you don't go and sit there as early as I do.
That's true.
I'm a weirdo. And then also a weirdo, Walsey comes and sits down, and we start talking about whatever's under the sun. Hi, Walsey. Welcome to Flamestock. How are we doing?
We're doing well. And, you know, as a Sportsnet 650 alumnus, it's lovely to be back on the Sportsnet airwaves.
It's good to have you, pal. And you are in Buffalo covering the scouting combine for CalgaryFlames.com. So give us the lay of the land. Like, I've been to Buffalo, but I've never been to the scouting combine. I've never had the opportunity to cover this event. You talk to people who do, and from an access standpoint and just like the way the NHL runs it, apparently it's an awesome thing to be a part of. Give us the lay of the land and what goes down for the week at the scouting combine.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool layout. This is my second time here. We were fortunate enough to come out here last year. And you talk about it being in Buffalo year after year after year. Well, it just makes sense because the arena, the KeyBank Center, is right across the street from the hotel, and it's connected by like an overhead walkway. The Sabres practice facility is there as well, and that's where they'll be doing the fitness testing and all the media stuff later this week and into the weekend. But for these 4 days, 4.5 days, Monday through Friday, they've got the suite level in the KeyBank Center, all kind of reserved, if you will, for NHL teams. So each NHL team will have a suite, and it's all the way around in a ring. And, you know, there's a chair outside each suite, and the players will sit in their chair and wait for their meetings. But there's also, like, a lounge area where they can relax and play some video games or some ping pong. And there's equipment manufacturers as well on site showcasing some of the latest gear. But for the players, it's really an easy thing to navigate because you're just walking across from the hotel to the rink, and they all have their individual meeting schedules on their apps that they're given by the NHL Central Scouting, and it's just pretty seamless. And for the players, I think that makes it a lot more comfortable because it can be a pretty high pressure situation for some of these kids coming in to talk to NHL teams for the first time.
So fitness testing is still to come. What are the first few days of the combine all about? Like, what's going on the first couple of days in Buffalo?
So beginning yesterday and running through till Friday morning is just the meeting portion of the
geez, it goes that long, hey?
Yeah, and you know what? Like, last year, the Flames, I don't know the number of meetings that they ended up having with prospects. There were about 100 kids here last year. There's 90 kids here this year. But the Flames were right up at the top in terms of the number of kids they interviewed. And I know someone put out a tweet today. There's a couple players here that they're interviewing with, you know, upwards of 30 NHL teams this week. So they do need all of those days. There's a medical testing session set for Thursday, I believe. And then some of the fitness testing, like the VO2 max test, will take place, I believe, on Friday. But the bulk of the stuff that you see all the images of and where the larger media contingent descends on Buffalo here, that'll take place starting on Saturday morning.
Okay. Now, you had a chance to chat with Craig Conroy on Monday, as the Flames have a good chunk of their hockey ops staff in Buffalo for this event. I guess, what were your takeaways from that chat with Craig and kind of what the overall feel is from hockey ops in Buffalo for this year's draft?
You know, I think it's similar to last year where there's a real sense of excitement and a desire, I would say, to follow up on what's been pretty widely viewed as a pretty successful draft last year. Every time you talk to Craig, he's always got a smile on his face. But really, I think the thing that excites him and, the director of amateur scouting, Todd Button, there's a handful of scouts here as well as one of the Flames' mental performance people. It's really just the opportunity to talk to these players because you're going and watching them over the course of the year, be it on video, be it in person, be it vis-a-vis through your scouts. And now is the opportunity to really kind of get to know these kids and kind of get a sense of what they're like off the ice and what kind of personality they have and what kind of person you could potentially be bringing into the organization with you know, really all of these kids that are here are going to be, you know, taken within the first three rounds. So whatever that draft capital may be per team, I know the Flames have the two first round picks, a pick in the second and a pick in the third. So, you know, there's a real chance to get some education on these players and to develop those personal relationships. And I think, you know, that's really what excites Craig right now. And it's also, I mean, the line he used with me yesterday was he's they're really tying a bow on things. They kind of have their list and, you know, where they think guys are going to fall come the draft June 27th and 28th. But, you know, it's tying a bow and maybe through the interview process, getting a little bit of a different perspective on some of these players too.
So you and you already have spoken with a good number of players and guys who are draft eligible for later on this month, and you've mostly been focusing on players who are potentially going to be around that number 18 overall slot. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, we in our little cubby hole in the Flames office, we take a look at the rankings and we look at all of the different mock drafts that folks like Mr. Vickers and you know, the guys from The Athletic and so on and so forth put out. And through that, we kind of develop a bit of a list of our own, because one of the things that, you know, long predates my involvement with the Flames is they've really spent a lot of time focusing on prospect profiles and getting to know some of these kids that could potentially fall at this year, that number 18 pick. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of trial and error. I do a lot of laps around the suite level, just looking to find the players that we're looking for, and then asking if they're interested in talking, and whether it's on camera or off camera, and then it just a process of elimination there. But, you know, thankfully, every kid that we've spoken to here has been super receptive to doing a bit of a get to know you. And you're going to continue to see those kind of profile pieces and one-on-one videos on Flames channels throughout the week.
We're chatting with Chris Wall of CalgaryFlames.com. He's at the Scouting Combine in Buffalo and joining us here on Flames Talk on this Tuesday, Vix.
Well, so you've been around this sport some time now, as have I, and I'm just curious your impression, generally speaking, at how much more polished these kids are now at 17 and 18 when they go through a process that can be as stressful as the Combine.
They're all pros, right? And I think yesterday morning, you know, talking to some of the kids and just trying to set up some of those conversations for our own use, you could sense a bit of the nerves. But today, even compared to yesterday, guys looked a lot more comfortable and, you know, generally pretty outgoing when, you know, when you see you pass them by in the hallway, they're super friendly and super, you know, excited to be here and go through this process. But when it comes to dealing with the media and answering questions, and it just, you know, they're pros already, and it's just it's crazy to see. I mean, I you know, I look back to a decade ago when I was working in junior A in the Western Hockey League, like it was night and day compared to what it is now, and it just really speaks to the maturity level and the support system that these kids have nowadays.
We'll get to the list in a moment, but I'm just curious from your perspective, is there any player there that you've talked to that you've now vaulted up your personal ranking based on the fact that they've been receptive or their personality? Because there is a little bit of the human bias that goes into it when you get to meet players and engage with players as well.
Yeah, the kid that jumps off the page to me is a player that we spoke to about 90 minutes ago, and our if we haven't published it yet, we'll be publishing the video very soon. It was Roger McQueen of the Brandon Wheat Kings. You know, this is a guy that missed almost the entire season this year with a back injury. And he's here. He's 100% healthy, feeling 10 out of 10, but super personal. And it just so happened, Vic, that I managed to, you know, track him down as he was exiting a meeting with the Flames this afternoon. And, you know, just ear-to-ear grin on his face, super personable, you know, just and outgoing, you know, asking how my day is going and just willing to talk about just about anything, be it his sport court back in Saskatoon or playing euchre or whatever. It was a really engaging conversation. And you know, for a guy that really we didn't get to see a lot of on the ice this year. Maybe shed a bit of a different light on him and kind of will hopefully help people kind of get to know a little bit more about him, given the fact that he missed so much time over the course of the season.
Yeah, just being there and in your conversations, whether they're with Conroy, whether they're with the players, you get a sense for McQueen in particular that there's an importance on this combine because we saw so little of him on the ice this year?
I think so. And you know, everybody has access to all the video. And, you know, I think that he's been super outgoing. I know he did a thing with NHL.com as well where, you know, right off the top, it was, I'm feeling 100%. And these issues that have plagued me this year are behind me. And I think that's both reassuring for the player, and hearing it from the player, I think, to be reassuring for teams as well, who are kind of in that range, right? He's a 6'5" centerman with hands, and you know, he's ranked number 8 among North American skaters. So he's definitely one of the more higher profile players here. And just hearing it out of his mouth and seeing this confidence that he's portraying here, I think goes a long way.
Keeping it in the Western League, Braden Coots of Seattle, he's a player that I see in mock drafts and rankings in the mock draft builder we have at FC Hockey. He's in and around that number 18. You've talked to him. I'm just curious your impressions, your takeaways with your conversation with him.
You know, and it's interesting. A couple of years ago when I was working at the Western Hockey League, he was a black ace for the Seattle Thunderbirds when they won the championship and went on to the Memorial Cup. And one of the guys that he learned from was Lucas Siona, who's a Calgary Wrangler now. And fast forward 2 years later, Braden Coots is one of the youngest captains in all of the CHL. And I think he, you know, we asked him about learning from guys like Siona as a 15-year-old and the leadership qualities. And that's really what shines through to me. I mean, he's certainly talented on the ice and put up great numbers for a pretty young Seattle team. But then he went from there and he was the captain of the U18s as well and put up big numbers in that gold medal performance down to Texas. So, you know, he's a kid, you know, certainly I hesitate to call him average size, but at 6 foot, you know, maybe doesn't have the frame that a McQueen or a Jack Nesbitt at a Windsor might have where they're 6'4", 6'5", but, you know, character and leadership qualities and the fact that he wins. Right, he's won a WHL championship. He's won a U18 gold medal. Those are the things that stood out for me.
Again, keeping it in the Western League, Cole Reschne of the Victoria Royals committed to North Dakota. You've had a chance to talk to him. He's another one of those guys that I find to be in that range, in and around that number 18 spot, a couple spots higher, a couple of spots lower. What were your conversations like with him?
Well, it's, you know, given the news surrounding him over the past few days, yep, with the decision to go to North Dakota, I mean, he was definitely someone that we identified as not just being within that range, Vic, but somebody that we definitely wanted to talk to just to get that perspective. And for Cole Reschne, you know, that decision was entirely predicated on what he feels is best for his own personal development. And there's all the talk about the CHL and the NCAA and who plays where, and who does what. But really, it does come down to the individual, doesn't it? And I know with Cole, he was pretty adamant that getting to, you know, spend more time in the gym, working on his strength, working on getting bigger, faster, stronger, those three cliche words, that's going to go a long way for him. And maybe not playing as many games as he would in the Western Hockey League, playing in the 30-game range as opposed to 68. And that, for me, was what stood out. Again, a really outgoing kid and a good personality. And we joke, you know, he's from a small town in Saskatchewan, and there might not be anybody left in Saskatchewan come the draft weekend just because the number of people that he's going to be taking with him to LA. But, you know, again, it's an interesting landscape when it comes to the CHL and the NCAA, and he definitely made the headlines. And it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of pans out for him with respect to being able to take more time to work on strength and play against older players kind of going forward once this month is over.
Chris Wall's with us from CalgaryFlames.com, joining us here on Flames Talk. He's at the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo, which is going on all this week. Okay, Wallsy, a few other players that you have had a chance to speak with. You can find a lot of these interviews either already up on the Calgary Flames different platforms on social on CalgaryFlames.com, or you can find them still to come as they'll be published here over the course of the week. But you've had an opportunity to chat with Windsor's Jack Nesbitt, another one of those center icemen in this year's draft. What were some of your takeaways from that chat with Jack?
Well, he kind of fits in that McQueen mold a little bit, where there's a bit of a recurring theme with a lot of the players that we've kind of identified as wanting to talk to or have talked to, where they're centermen with size that can play physical. And, you know, Jack Nesbitt, a guy that had 64 points during the regular season, 74 penalty minutes, but a guy that, you know, learned from and played under in that Windsor lineup, a first-round pick from last year, Liam Greentree, who went to the LA Kings. And, you know, again, another sizey center, another sizey forward, and a guy that he told me he's been the biggest kid on his team pretty much his entire career. And so it just came naturally to him to play physically. And you know, I get the sense that that is something that's pretty attractive to a lot of the teams here, because you look at, you know, some of the success stories in the NHL of late, where, you know, big physical teams have had success in the standings and you know, wanting to replenish your roster with big players that can skate but can also withstand the 82 game schedule and as well dish out a little punishment. I think that goes a long way.
Yeah. Two more. Justin Carboneau of the Armada in Blainville Boisbrand. You know, I've seen him all over the place in different rankings in terms of where different services have him. What stood out in your one-on-one conversation with him?
You know, it was interesting because this is a guy that scored 46 goals this year for Blainville, a team that, you know, sold at the deadline in the QMJHL, but had a strong finish to the season. And his response when I asked him about his year, he didn't say anything about himself. He said he was really proud of the way his team grew and how his teammates grew. And, yeah, this year they didn't win. They got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. But next year they're going to be a lot better. And, you know, that speaks a lot to me because I think these guys are fairly used to doing these kind of profile-style interviews where they're asked to talk about themselves and talk about their game and what their strengths are. But for him to go out and discuss his team and his teammates before telling me about how he likes to, you know, play with a bit of an edge, or he likes to score goals, or whatever it may be.
Right.
That stood out, right? Like, because, you know, that's the kind of attitude that can take a team a long way when you mix talent with, you know, that work ethic and that willingness to see others succeed. Interesting story about him too. He was a running back growing up as well. So we actually ended up talking about football a lot more than we did about hockey, which was kind of neat.
That is pretty cool, actually. And the final gentleman that you spoke to so far, and you've got lots more still to come, but you spoke with a guy with some Flames bloodlines. That is Eric Nielsen, who is the son of former Flame Marcus Nielsen. He's the last guy we'll ask you about. Tell us a little bit more about Eric Nielsen, who spent this past season in Sweden with Djurgården.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We were sitting around the office a couple weeks ago, and his name came up, and I thought to myself, you know, Nielsen, okay, well, that's an interesting last name. And so looked him up. Lo and behold, Marcus's son, and he was born in Calgary, actually, when Marcus was playing for the Flames. So, yeah, we caught up with Eric late this afternoon and for a piece that's going to drop tomorrow. His English is fantastic, even though he's, you know, he left Calgary at a very young age, like a year or two old. But it's kind of neat, right? And it maybe ages me a little bit, thinking back to 2004 when I was in my late teens, and now seeing sons of players that played on that team potentially be first round picks 2 years in a row. But be that as it may, another really interesting kid, number 7 ranked international skater, a playmaking center who played a bit of pro hockey this year, but he's actually coming over to North America this year to play at Michigan State. And we asked him about that. He said it was a really difficult decision because, you know, Deergarden, it's the club he's grown up with, the club he loves. And there's actually 4 or 5 of his teammates here, including Anton Frondell, who's the top-ranked European skater going into the draft. But he's coming over here because he has an eye on an NHL future and figures that going to Michigan State and trying the NCAA route is what's going to be best for his development. But he had a few stories about, you know, Calgary, and he really is interested in coming back to the city. I won't spoil too much. He has been back once fairly recently, but, you know, obviously knowing about his father and the 2004 team and the run that they went on, it's really kind of piqued his curiosity and given him a bit of a connection to the city of Calgary as well.
Great stuff, Walsy. Enjoy the rest of your week in Buffalo and the NHL Scouting Combine. We'll be watching, and I know you've got some chats with Todd Button and more potential prospects coming our way on the Flames socials and on CalgaryFlames.com. We'll keep our eye out for that, but keep up the good work from Buffalo. Hey, enjoy the rest of your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Be well, Walsy. That's Chris Wall from CalgaryFlames.com joining us to wrap up the hour. Steinberg Vickers starting to wrap things up this hour. Shan and Cam are outstanding producers this hour. And Chris Wall from the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Barcast Hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.